up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
But glad you could be with us this morning. SB Nation AM, 800-777-2907. You want to get in our conversation. I want to talk about the NFL relaxing the anthem policy based on some new information that was coming out, or at least some problems that was coming out. But there's a problem in Major League Baseball, Ron, and apparently it's Mike Trout.
It's all his fault.
It's all Mike Trout's fault. Rob Manfred kind of threw Mike Trout under the bus, saying that, you know, he needs to market himself a little more. And boy, a lot of people just came to the defense of Mike Trout, thank God, from this silly nonsense. You're from Southern California. Isn't Mike Trout a big deal?
He's a big deal in Southern California. I mean, just like any athlete in their regional market, it's a huge deal. But I think what Rob Manfred's saying is, like, you know, LeBron is known nationally. Like, LeBron can't go anywhere. He can go to Idaho and he would be recognized. Of course, he's also a 6'8 human being, and that's easy to find. Mike Trout, on the other hand, pretty much what he was saying is Mike Trout can go to walk down the streets in New York City and he won't be recognized.
That is true to some extent, but I think that's a baseball issue rather than a Mike Trout issue.
Oh, it's definitely a baseball issue.
That's the problem, right? I mean, LeBron is a well-recognized figure because the NBA its tentacles are everywhere around the globe. And even if you just don't like the NBA at all, LeBron's is just so important to that game that he's everywhere. He's on every screen. He's making stories. Major League Baseball doesn't have this impact. Major League Baseball, unfortunately for it, is a very local, it's a very local thing. I mean, I don't know how popular the MLB package is to people who are just like, I love baseball so much, I'm going to watch the Indians and the Milwaukee Brewers because that's a really good game tonight.
And they live in Oregon.
And they live in Oregon. Whereas the NBA, it's like, if you get a regular season game between Cleveland and Boston, you might go, yeah, I'll watch that even though I live in North Dakota. But Major League Baseball doesn't really lend itself. We're going to explore this a little bit more. 800-777-2907. Want your thoughts on that? Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. We'll also get to Carmelo Anthony is going to be a free agent soon after being shipped to Atlanta by Oklahoma City. Where will he end up? Hint, hint. I think we know. That's coming up. It's Tony D, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, kind of threw it out there that, you know, Mike Trout, if he should market himself more. And it was not taken very well because it sounds like, you know, hey, we really could use Mike to step up for our game, when in reality, the game needs to step up for Mike Trout. But a lot of people are coming to the defense of Mike Trout, and rightfully so. He's the best player in the game, and he's a genuinely nice guy. I mean, he does things for kids. He seems to be a joy to be around, doesn't have to be a problem in the clubhouse. He's not getting himself in trouble. But do these players owe leagues an obligation? I mean, do players owe the league and the teams that they play for some sort of obligation to market themselves more, especially if they are one of the top players in the game? Or is that an expectation we shouldn't have on players and just go out there and play? I think Mike Trout should do whatever Mike Trout feels comfortable with. You know, Mike Trout shouldn't do commercials if he doesn't want to do them. He shouldn't be doing public appearances if he doesn't want to do them. If he does, great. If he doesn't, fine. I mean, I guess he does plenty in the local area because nobody seems to have a problem with him. He doesn't seem to be standoffish. Is he shy? I guess. But I don't know if Manfred making these comments makes baseball look good. Baseball's got some problems, but that's baseball's problem. It's not a Mike Trout problem. Attendance is down. There's reasons behind it. They're trying to do different things in the game. I mean, did you see the story that's coming out after the All-Star game, Ron, that, you know, the National League may go to the designated hitter? Like, it's like,
well, they're
trying to shake. they're trying to shake up the game a little more, right? They're trying to, nothing is sacred in baseball, right? Those days are over. It is time to start realizing if you're going to reach a young crowd, if you're going to reach a 20-something millennial group, what do they want? They want games to be 7-6. They don't care about the double switch. They don't care about bad pitchers. I mean, well, I shouldn't say bad pitchers who hit badly. They don't want to see that. So if it means the National League getting the DH, great. And I'm sure the Players Association is all fine on that because the union means more jobs. It gets more jobs for the union. Guys could be DHs now. They don't, you know. But the reality of it is baseball's problem is baseball's problem. It's not Mike Trout. So I don't know. I'm looking at this from a standpoint of if you're Mike Trout, just do what you do best. Play the game. You should. If Mike Trout wants to be a bigger name, Mike Trout can be a bigger name. He's in Los Angeles, for crying out loud. But it doesn't even matter in this day and age. It used to matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Right? I mean, Eric Hosmer was getting like marriage proposals. Played for Kansas City, for crying out loud. Because Kansas City was good. They were in the postseason. They won a World Series. They can play anywhere these days. We used to talk about this with the NBA all the time. Longer the days is that you used to be able to want to go to these big cities to maximize your dollars, right? If you were playing in the NBA way back in the day for like the Indiana Pacers and you were a good player, you'd want to get out and go play in New York or you'd want to go play in LA because you want to maximize those off-court dollars. Now you can maximize those off-court dollars anywhere you want. It doesn't matter that you play in Oklahoma City. You can maximize those off-court dollars anywhere you play. Baseball's the same way.
Yeah, and it's almost beneficial if you are a star player in a smaller market. I mean, I'm not saying that here in Houston, Houston's not a small market. But like to the flip side of things where, you know, Manfred is going, oh, we need Mike Trout to be a more, you know, basically saying we need more national commercials out of him. J.J. Watt, for a time being, I literally will say this, during the football season, J.J. Watt was literally on every single commercial during the breaks during a game. Like, there were times, like, you have, like, four commercials going. He was on every single one. He was pitching everything. So that's what I'm saying. Like, even if, like, Houston's, I'm not saying Houston's a smaller market, but it's almost beneficial to be the star player in a smaller market because then you're getting all the attention in your market. You may not be getting it nationally, but you're definitely getting it locally, and that's a good chunk of change for anyone. I mean, I look at somebody like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, I'm sure he wasn't hurting for dollars when he was at Oklahoma City.
And he was in national commercials.
And he was in national commercials. And plus,
he was in a movie.
Who knows how many local spots he was doing.
Yeah, and he did Thunderstruck. Remember that movie?
No, I try to forget that one.
A lot of these NBA movies are forgettable. I hope Uncle Drew is good. But no, there's this score now. Did you see this famous, this is kind of making rounds now, this famous Q score that said NBA forward Kenneth Faried has a similar Q score to Mike Trout?
Who?
Which is basically recognizable. Yeah, Kenneth Faried played for the Denver Nuggets, for crying out loud. I think he just got shipped to somewhere. I don't know. He just got shipped. He played for the Denver Nuggets. He has the same Q score as Mike Trout. That's a baseball problem to me. That's not a Mike Trout problem. That's a baseball problem to me. Because if you're Major League Baseball and you can't market a guy in Anaheim nationally, if you can't market a guy in Los Angeles nationally or find a way to do so, that is your problem. Baseball does a terrible job of marketing its product outside the local dollars. And here's the thing. Baseball is a locally driven sport. That's where a lot of the money is coming in. The local revenue on the TV rights hasn't completely leveled the playing field in terms of economics, but it has come close. It has allowed teams to spend a little bit more because the local dollars are good. So in that respect, that's baseball's problem. If they want to make Mike Trout an international superstar, there are ways they could do it. But only with the concession of Mike Trout. He's got to want that. And if he doesn't want that, fine. Baseball's going to have to find somebody else. Bryce Harper seems to be in a lot of ads. All right? So I don't know if they're hurting globally for, or at least nationally, I should say, for a face of baseball. They got that in Bryce Harper. If they want it to be Mike Trout and they sit down with Mike Trout, there are ways for it to be done. But it's becoming very localized. How complicated is it to have baseball be better at its distribution, streaming, using the technology of today? Because I remember a time where baseball was so behind the times on this, it was laughable. That I remember saying, you better fire everybody in the PR department and hire young people that understand social media and where we're going with media now in terms of online streaming and video. Because if you don't make this move, you're going to die. You're going to die quickly. We always say this with everything, right? What's the opposite of love? It ain't hate. It's apathy. If you're a league, you don't want apathy. You want people to be passionately angry at your product when you do something wrong, like we saw with the NFL, right? You want your fan base, if you mess up, if you do something like Roger Goodell did with Ray Rice, for example, that's a perfect example. If you mess up, if you do something wrong, you want your fan base to be angry at you, demand change, order you to make it right. We want you to fix this because we love the product too, and we want it to be better. So you failed us. But if you are a sport where something like that happens and nobody cares and nobody's texting you and nobody's angry at you, in fact, it doesn't even make a blip, then you're failing. And baseball has time and time again done that occasionally, where sometimes it'll have big news and it just gets lost in the shuffle because its fan base doesn't get riled up enough. So you want the product, people to care about the product really badly. And they don't. Unfortunately, they don't. That's why you've got to be right on top of where you're going with your social media platforms, where you're going with online streaming. Can I get games easily? Is there a method of me as a Yankee fan or a Dodger fan or a Red Sox fan? Can I get out-of-town games when I live somewhere else? Can I get those easily? Or is it a convoluted system that's way too expensive and out of my reach? Can I get those easily enough?
And the other issue I think baseball has going against them is the fact that no game, you know, outside maybe, you try to pump up Yankees, Red Sox, but there's not a single game, a single moment that is appointment watching.
No, I agree.
Because
completely.
Everything is series. I mean, the NFL hasn't made. I mean, it's appointment watching because it's only once a week. Every Sunday, or maybe you got a Thursday or Monday night game. But every Sunday, your team's playing. That's it. You only get one a week. Basketball, somewhat similar. They're not, I mean, there's a lot more games, there's a lot more chances, but you don't have a series. You don't see, the Knicks playing the Celtics three straight games, 3 days in a row. They play them once, and then it'll be a couple months until they play them again. And that's why, we have Christmas Day. Christmas Day is always a huge NBA day because they put the best matchups on Christmas Day, and NBA owns Christmas now.
Yeah, baseball doesn't even own July 4th.
No, if you watch one game, say here locally, it's Astros and Rangers, right? It's a big deal here. Or, maybe we have Astros Dodgers coming up in a couple of weeks here. One game might be appointment watching, and that's what, whether ESPN's trying to do with Sunday Night Baseball or MLB's trying to do with Sunday Night Baseball or, try to pump it up as much as possible. But if you miss that, if that game doesn't go towards your favor, hey, you got two more.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
so
why
kill yourself to watch the one where, you got two more?
I remember I was at my daughter was in like a choir recital and I was living in New Jersey and it was in May. And I went to it and the Yankees were playing the Red Sox. And at that time, the Yankees were red hot. I mean, just red hot. And so the choir was going on and literally the music director comes on before the event and he says, before we get started, these students have put in a lot of hard work. So we're really glad we're able to showcase some of the different types of music that we're going to offer you tonight. And I just want to thank so-and-so and I want to thank so-and-so and I want to thank so-and-so. And I promise we'll get you out of here in time to catch the Yankee game tonight. Now this was in May. Okay. This was in May and everybody laughed and everybody chuckled because everybody in the building knew that this was a big series. Now I went home and I watched the game and it was intense and it was a fun game and it was, everything you want from a local standpoint. I made the mistake of going on Facebook and saying, I've never felt like an early season game carries so much weight than this one tonight. And I got ripped by some of my friends who said, this doesn't count for anything. These were the Red Sox fans, even some of my Yankee friends who said, this doesn't count for anything. And in the end, they were right. And I should have known better. It didn't matter at all. It's one game of 162. Now, at the end of the season, it may be the game that differentiates the two in the standings, but you cannot make that correlation in May. Whereas you can make some of that correlation with the NFL. You can make some of that correlation, especially in college football. You get an early matchup like Georgia, Florida, or Georgia, South Carolina, you could say this is for the SEC East. This is going to go a long way to determine who wins this division. But you don't get to say that in baseball in May, no matter how much hype a game is. The game was great. It was exciting. I think the Yankees won it in like at the bottom of the ninth. But in the end, it's just another game in many that are going to be between these two teams. And it's going to get to September. Baseball can't, it just cannot cap, like you're right, it just can't capitalize on matchups because a Friday, Saturday weekend series is important. But teams, they just want to take 2 out of 3. If they can get 2 out of 3, they're happy. Fans want 3 out of 3, but teams are like 2 out of 3, great, we moved on. We gained a game. Good. Now back to our other 140 that we got to play.
And that's part of the problem with the postseason too, is because you have, you know, it's a best of 7 series. I mean, the wild card game, you people will tune in to watch that because it's one and done. And, you know, we're in a society now that likes immediate results. And so you have the one and done. If you have a 7-game series, you know, you may watch it. If it's your team, you're going to watch it. But nationally, I'm not really, even for me, I'm not going to care, you know, if it's between the Indians and the Yankees. And it's, you know, say that's a 7-game series between the Indians and the Yankees. Games 1, 2, I'm not really, I'll, you know, I may watch it if it's, you know, nothing else is on, but it's not appointment watching TV. If it comes to a game 6 or 7, oh, then I'm definitely in. And then you flip that with, you know, I mean, it's, I guess you can make the same argument with basketball and NHL too, is that, you know, you have a similar thing going on where it's, unless you're, it's your team locally. But that's where NFL has it made, because everything is one and done. That's why March Madness is as huge as it is, because it's one and done. Every game means something.
Yeah, and it's tight. It's 3 weeks. We got all these games. This is how this format goes. Join for the ride. Get on.
I mean, how many times have we seen in baseball, you know, oh, you know, this pitcher had a really bad night. Don't worry, the team will rebound. And they do.
And they do. You're right. 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Let us know your thoughts on baseball. Mike Trout, is he responsible for some of the PR woes that Major League Baseball is feeling right now? 800-777-2907. It is SB Nation AM.
Is in the building.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ron, I don't know if you know this, but I'm just going to ask anyway. Is Ballers Season 4 coming out soon, Is that show done? Or?
I watched the first season, and then I got into the second season, and then I kind of lost track during the second season.
The third season.
So it did go 3 seasons. So maybe season 4 is coming up this summer.
When I left it, they were trying to, like, I don't know his character's name. This is how bad I am. He was trying to get a Vegas franchise. He was working on that. And then I kind of didn't see some episodes, and then it just fizzled out for me.
Was that season 3?
I think it was season 3.
Then what was season 2? I thought that was part of season 2.
I don't know. Maybe it was season 2.
All I know, season,
I don't know.
Season 1 was incredible.
I'm down a rabbit hole and I can't get out. Fine, I'm going to have to look this up now.
Season 1 of Ballers.
Season 4. There's a season 4.
All right.
I like the show. I don't know why I stopped watching it. No, hold on. Season 4 is going to air August 12th. October 14th.
So it's coming up. It's coming into season four.
So season 3 was last year, July to September, and I now know why I sort of lost HBO that at between that time. So that's why I lost it.
Well, that's the main reason too.
My promotional code just ended. Ended by that time. So Baller season 4 is coming.
Can't go $5 extra on your cable bill. Come on.
Nah, I know. I should. I was a big Game of Thrones fan, so I wanted to keep it for Game of Thrones. Right, and then I was like,
"Is it confession time?
Is it confession time?
Yeah.
In terms of,
you know, do I need to go into a confessional?
Okay, go ahead.
This is tough to say because America will hate me. I have not watched Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, this is like saying you don't watch, never seen Star Wars. What's the matter with you?
I have tried to get it.
So it's a good television, man.
See, I know it's great television. I mean, I've seen clips of it, and I'm like, God, this is something I'm really, you know, I like Lord of the Rings, and it's kind of reminding me of that. And I'm like, I could really get into it. The problem is, I'm so far behind.
Yeah, that's the problem, man. You see all of those, yeah.
And I know that the next season doesn't start till next year. At some point, right? It doesn't come out until 2019. I think it'll be, you know, somewhere like in May or April. I don't even know. I know the next season.
Oh, it's like 2019. Yeah. It's
so I know I have time.
And if you want to get into it, you can.
Right. But the problem is I don't have time.
My advice to people. Yeah, I know. My advice to people. And I'm going to prove that point with this piece of advice. My advice to people with Game of Thrones is watch the first season. And don't just push through it because it's going to get complicated because there's conversations that involve characters you don't know. But just follow it along. Just get through it. Get to the end. And before you go into season two, go back and rewatch season one. Now that you know kind of the dynamics and who's who. So you'll hear conversations differently. You'll say, oh, I know who they're talking about. Oh, I know what that means.
You're adding another season for me to watch.
I'm serious. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that from that point forward. So you don't have to rewatch season two other than entertainment value. You don't have to do that with any other season. But watch season one. Just get through it because it's complicated because I had to do this. You get done with it and you're like, wow, all right. I got an idea of the basic story, but there's some details I'm missing. Then go back and rewatch it and you'll be like, oh, wow, that's really good. Oh, wow, now I understand. Oh, that's an interesting point. It'll all start coming together. And then from season two on, it'll be like Gone to the Races.
All right. You want to know what makes this worse? My statement of I don't have enough time to watch it?
Yeah.
My wife has watched it.
Oh, does she? Really?
She's all caught up.
Okay. But now,
I want to know about this. Sometimes, but, she's watched everything. Now, she has this weird thing, and it bugs me sometimes. When a TV show or a movie gets too intense, she starts to fast forward a little bit to see how it ends.
And I got you. Okay.
And then she'll go back and watch it once she knows the outcome.
Oh.
And you know, to me, it's I try to use the argument. It's like, man, that's like watching the final scene of The Sixth Sense, and then going back and watching the entire movie.
You don't want that gut punch.
Yeah, I mean, but she's not a gut punch fan.
Yeah, I am. So I am. I have gone for it. I've seen so many movies. I've gone to the theater to see movies where the only thing I know about the story is that it is a major surprise twist ending at the end. And I'll go, okay, that's worth my time. I'll go see it. I don't even know what this is about, but I'll go see it. If I'm getting enough people saying, oh, stay till the end, it's unbelievable. Oh my God, the ending was so incredible. Oh, I never saw that coming. I'm kind of into that. So I will watch that. But let me ask you a quick question. How does that dynamic work in your house? Now, does she pressure you to watch it or does she say, eh, Ron, this might not be your thing?
No. She keeps badgering about it. Like, you need to get on board. You need to start watching this.
Okay.
And it's not the fact. I mean, I don't know. I guess I gravitate more towards sports and like, I'm downtime. I'll watch sports. And maybe it's like, this is probably the time during the summertime where I should be just glued in, just binge watch. Basically what I need to do is I need to take a week off and just binge watch.
That's what you need to do.
Put myself in a hole.
Staycation.
Yeah. Just put myself in a hole. Just binge watch the entire series and then just be done with it. And then I say I can be caught up and then I can then talk knowledgeably about Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Years ago, I had to do these massive editing projects at night, and I used to, it'd be like 2 hours of kind of mindless editing work. And my brother told me to watch Mad Men, and I had never seen an episode of Mad Men. And then more and more people were telling me about it. And I said, you know what? I want to binge watch this thing. I got 2 hours every night for 2 weeks. And when I was done with the project and I binge watched as many episodes as I could, I was like, I'm into this. I'll watch it as much as I possibly can. And I did. I finished it out. It took me another month or so, and I binge watched the whole. I got right to the very end. Binge watching's great. I love it. It just makes me feel worthless as a human being, though. I feel like I accomplished nothing. I like sit around and go, oh, let me check another episode. I love it when my Netflix go, are you still watching this? And I'm like, yes, I'm still watching this. I have no life. I haven't got out of this chair in 6 hours.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder that it should be up and, I don't know, exercising and maybe making the blood go to certain areas that it should be. My feet are asleep. My head's spinning. But yes, I'm still watching this stupid thing. Yeah, it's great. What a country. All right, we'll come back. I want to talk more about the value of franchises on SB Nation AM.
Hey. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Stay at the game feeling lucky. Make money while watching this weekend. Go to mybookie.ag and start cashing in on your game day picks. From NFL, college football, hockey, and more, MyBookie is the industry-leading sports book that hooks you up for all your betting needs. MyBookie has the best odds and action for all players, big and small. Even if you just want to test your luck at a casino, MyBookie puts instant blackjack, roulette, and Vegas-style slots in the palm of your hand. They have even beautiful live dealers dealing cards in real time. When you score that big win, MyBookie has you covered. No one pays winners faster than MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Call MyBookie now at 833-888-BETS. That's 833-888-BETS. Mention promo code SPORTS50, and they'll throw in an extra 50% on your first deposit. Call 833-888-BETS. Use promo code SPORTS50. You can also sign up online right now on your phone. Just visit MyBookie.ag today. Use promo code SPORTS50. Bet with the biggest, bet with the best, bet with MyBookie. All right, so yesterday we were talking about the franchise values and the Dallas Cowboys checking in at $4.8 billion. I'm old enough to remember. This is going to date me a little bit. But this is fascinating to me because I was looking at the huge list and it was like the Golden State Warriors were like, you know, $3 billion. The Yankees were like little over $4 billion. I'm old enough to remember a time in our nation when owning a sports team was not a profitable business. That you did not do that as a means to garner wealth. You owned a sports team because it was a very cool thing to do, but you made money doing something else. Your business was something other than the game you owned. So maybe you were like a shipping magnate like George Steinbrenner, or you were in oil, or you were into some business that made you a lot of money. And then you would own the local sports franchise. You maybe own the local NBA team or the local Major League Baseball team. And it wasn't that it made you just the money poured in. A lot of it, you know, to be honest with you, it's a cash business. A lot of these guys like cash businesses for those tax reasons. But nevertheless, you didn't even mind if the team lost a little money. It was just something cool to own. You were the owner of a local sports franchise. It put your name in the paper. Maybe you liked the ego of being interviewed. Maybe you just liked the fact that you could tell all your rich buddies at the country club you owned the local franchise. That's basically what it was. I mean, when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys were still an iconic name, but it was losing like $1 million a month. And he bought it for like 60-something million dollars. He bought a share of it for that amount. Then he bought the stadium too and all that. But now these things are worth billions. I mean, look at what we talked about a couple of years ago with Steve Ballmer. He wanted so bad to get in the NBA game when the Clippers were for sale, when they forced Donald Sterling out. It's $2 billion. $2 billion. Right? I mean, that's crazy. In this day and age, if you can get your hands on a sports franchise, it's going to be making you money. It's going to increase in value. Right? I mean, Mark Cuban owns a ton of things. I mean, Mark Cuban's got his hands at all sorts of businesses. I mean, he's on Shark Tank, for crying out loud. But he's the Dallas Mavericks owner. So George Steinbrenner went from shipping magnate to New York Yankees owner, even though he had his hands in a lot of other cookie jars. But it's like now if you get a team, you can dismiss all the other things that made you millions and continue to make you millions. You can focus on that and that's where the value comes in. Man, it was a time where that wasn't the case. It was just a simple way to, I don't know, have some money around, throw it at this thing. Maybe you make a little money, maybe you don't. It was kind of like the way it was described to me was it was like owning a very, very expensive sports car. It really was more money than it was, you know, really cost you more money than it was worth. But man, driving it was fun, right? Driving it was a blast, but it cost you money. Same thing with owning a professional team. It costs you money, but God, it's fun. Especially if they win. Ugh. When you're leading the parade, oh my goodness. When everybody wants tickets and you're the owner, it's great. Now, owning teams is good business. Used to not always be good business. Now, owning teams is very, very good business. Like I said, I mean, you have to come in with $1 billion just to get started. Not only do you have to be a billion. Do you remember when Donald Trump wanted to buy the Bills? Do you remember that story?
No.
He was trying to buy the Bills. And Mark Cuban said he knew that he couldn't because he wasn't liquid billion. Like on paper, he might have been. And I know people are still rummaging through that. But Mark Cuban knew he wasn't liquid billion. And that was like an eye opener to me. Like, you gotta have $1 billion in liquid assets just to even be considered. You can't even buy these things on credit. Watch a good 30 for 30 on the Islanders, where their owner bought it practically on credit. I mean, that's the way it was back in the day. You had a sports franchise, hard to sell. They were losing money. They were hemorrhaging money. Now, you're printing money. Look at the NFL. Look at what they just split. Your payroll is taken care of by media rights, for crying out loud. Before you even write a check, media rights money covers your team's salary cap payroll. It's good business to be in. I don't know if I'd want the headache, though. Would you make a good owner? Because I think I'd be a terrible owner. I wouldn't want to be one of those passive owners. You know, like, oh, just sitting around, let my guys make the decisions. I think I'd be like Jerry Jones. I think I'd be in the meetings, I'd be in the rooms, I'd be evaluating film. Maybe if it was hockey, because I don't know hockey that much. I don't know who's a good hockey player, who's not a good hockey player. But if I was in the NFL, yeah, damn right I'd be in the war room. I wouldn't leave it to some general manager, hiring him up. I'd be a terrible owner, but still be fun, though. All right, so you are down in Houston, Ron, and the buzz that Carmelo Anthony is going to be a free agent because he got shipped to Atlanta. Atlanta is going to waive him. He's going to be a free agent, and everyone is pegging the Rockets at landing Carmelo Anthony. Eh? Or is this a big deal?
It's split. Half the city is like, okay, you know what? It'd be kind of cool to have Carmelo here because it's Carmelo. And they're thinking, guy who won the NCAA championship, a thousand years ago. They're thinking, okay, he's been one of the best or one of the top scoring forwards in the league over the last 10 years. Gold medal winning Carmelo.
Gold medal winning. Yep. Can't forget that.
You know, they think of that. They're not thinking, they can't see past. What is he? He's almost a team cancer in a way. And I just don't see how it's going to fit in the Rocket scheme. I mean, we already have two guys who demand the ball a lot.
That's my issue. Carmelo Anthony's camp is going to have to do a real sit down with this if he wants to go to Houston.
They have to take a back seat.
Yeah, you're going to take a back seat. And here's the deal. He's got to understand, and he may be old enough now to understand, and I don't know. I haven't covered Anthony since he was with the Nuggets. He may be smart enough to understand this. He may not, because he was a little disgruntled last year with the Thunder. This team, the Rockets, are not going to be better if he's taking the shots. It has to be James Harden.
Right.
It cannot be him. This is not an even trade-off.
I think he's a serviceable player. I mean, it'll work in the sense that you can't leave him completely alone. If you leave him completely alone, I mean, he still knows how to shoot the ball. He still demands or commands attention, but he doesn't command the amount of attention that, say, Harden does. I don't think a team needs to scheme and double team Carmelo anymore. I think you can put, who's your second best defender, third best defender? You can put that on Carmelo. And it's like, all right, that guy's going to be fine. You know, he'll lock him down because Carmelo is not the player he was, 10 years ago.
He's never been a defensive guy. So you're not going to shore that up in the losses that they've had in free agency on the defensive side of the ball. It may not matter because, he's not known for that. So if you're going to bring him in, don't be upset if that's not what he's never done it. So, this is similar to a running back that doesn't have breakaway speed. And you're wondering why he can't run the 40 and 4.2, right? I mean, he is what he is. He's not going to be a defensive player. He never has been. He's not going to be. So if you're upset about that, or if in the middle of the season you're complaining about that, join the long list of fans who have gone down this road with Carmelo Anthony starting in Denver, right? So he's not going to do that. If there's a role that Mike D'Antoni finds for him and he fits that role and he just does that role and he's okay with it, then this becomes a pretty good addition. But if it's just, let's throw it in the stew and see how it tastes when the regular season starts, I'm not, I would be blah too. I would be, we'll see, because it doesn't seem to me that this is the exuberant, now the Rockets are right up there kind of move. This could backfire completely. The Thunder didn't feel like they got any value in this whatsoever. in order, you know, it was too costly and it didn't work out for them.
And they
realized
they
released it. They basically capitulated and sent him to Atlanta and then let him be waived by the Hawks. Found a team that would waive him. You know, found a team that was like, hey, we ain't taking this $27 million deal. No way. But we want it freed up on our books. So we'll ship some players. We'll take Anthony. We'll take him off our books, make him a free agent. And then we can start rebuilding another way. And everybody who is in the know says that Houston. And here's the thing, man. There was a little buzz about the Bulls. The Rockets are the only team I hear about when it comes to Carmelo Anthony. It's not like there's a list of five and the Rockets are on top of that. I barely hear anybody else mentioned.
No, and the other thing that really should concern Rockets fans is Carmelo and D'Antoni have a history.
They do.
They have a past, and it wasn't a good one.
No, it wasn't. I would say that for sure. No.
So, I mean, and like you said, I mean, they can find a role for him. Ideally, I think the best role Carmelo could serve for the Rockets is being a sixth man.
Yeah,
it's coming off the bench. You know, almost assuming that Andre Iguodala role. Andre Iguodala was a star player in this league. He was an all-star player in this league. He gets to the Warriors. The Warriors start making moves, start making things happening. Andre, unfortunately, becomes the new sixth man. And he has a resurgence in that role as being, okay, he's a top player again, but he's a sixth man. He's coming off the bench. He's not a starter. And it seems to me that Iguodala is fine with that. I think you can take that same approach with Carmelo, but I just don't think Carmelo will. I think his ego is too big for him to accept a lesser role than I need to be a starter. I need 30 plus minutes a game.
Then, but he's got to, and this is where his camp has got to come in and say, listen, man, what kind of legacy do you want? Because if you just want to score and score and score some more, there are other places we can probably go. And you can go do that. You want to go play in Brooklyn? You want to go play in Charlotte or some of these other teams where you can just score and score? We can probably find a way to make that happen for a certain amount of money. If that's what you want, that's what you want. If you really do want to go to an NBA Finals, if you really do want to be in position to win a championship, then I'm telling you, this Rockets team can get you there, but only if you do exactly what they need, and that's it. Play that role. And here's the thing. People will love you for it if you do that. If you come in with the attitude of, I'm going to do exactly what this team wants, and I'm going to do it well. Whatever they need, I'm going to do it well. The smart basketball people in Houston, and it really doesn't even matter, because even the casual fan will notice it, but the really smart basketball people will know how he maximizes his minutes. They will know how he is on the court. He's not going to play defense. Don't ask him to. He's not. And don't judge him from it. You've had 15 years. You can't complain about something you know. You know better than to think he's going to do anything defensively. He's not. But if he does his role that Mike D'Antoni wants him to do and the team guides him to, and that team's going to win, because they're not going to lose games because of him unless he steps out and tries to do something that is affecting what this Rockets team already does well. This Rockets team is ready, is a formidable challenge in the Western Conference. They can be more with Anthony, but only if Anthony does exactly what his role is. Anything more than that, this could be a problem. It could be a problem. I can't guarantee that it is, but it could be. And look, the Thunder, again, saw this for what it was and said, nah, we're not even going to try. He's going to sign his deal, and then we're going to work to get rid of it and just move on. And that's the way that if I'm the Rockets, I said, we're only going to do this on one condition. If he wants a championship, he'll do this. We shouldn't be talking about 19-year-old Carmelo Anthony 15 years later. It should be wise Carmelo Anthony that's made some mistakes, rubbed some people the wrong way, but now is looking to get to an NBA Finals because he's never been to one. All right, 800-777-2907. We'll talk more NBA coming up in the next hour. I am Tony D. That is Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So, Ron, as I mentioned earlier, I got to get on a flight today. I got to go to New Jersey. I got to pick up my wife's car, and then I got to drive it all the way back. We had to leave it there when we moved because no one could provide a tow for the truck. But I'm going to be leaving the Nashville area, and guess what's coming? Hail, thunderstorms and possible tornadoes later tonight in my area.
So you're abandoning the wife and the kids.
I know, and I think I'm going to hear about this when I land.
I guarantee.
I got a feeling when I turn on the... Yeah.
If there is a guarantee in life, you know, certain guarantees in life, guarantee that if a major storm does hit your area, you will hear about it.
And
how you abandoned your wife and kids.
And it's going to be my fault because I left?
No, it will be. It will be your fault. If a tornado touches down in your town, it's your fault.
That's the one thing I can't believe I moved back for, a place that runs sirens like it does every single month. The only time we lived here 5 years before we moved to New Jersey, and the only time I remember being really nervous, we had one where the sirens went off and like close to the middle of the night. It wasn't quite the middle of the night, but it was late enough. And we took the kids and we put them in the middle of the house. We had a closet, a coat closet, in the middle of the house. And they said, if you get to the center of your home. So we put them in the coat closet. We stood there and, you know, I kept watching it on TV. Nothing hit. Nothing was even close. But I kept thinking, I don't think this is going to work. I don't think this coat closet's going to work if a tornado comes blasting through. I want to be underground in a cellar, like Dorothy in her family, or like the beginning of Twister, you know, where the dad's trying to hold the door and he gets blown away. It's sucked through the tornado. Now, those scare me, man, but I think I'm going to be blamed for Mother Nature's actions tonight because I got on a plane and safely flew to Newark. I can't believe I just made that statement. All right, coming up next, we'll talk some NBA. I also want to get into college football. It's healthy, but could it be healthier? That is coming up next. I'm Tony D. That is Ron Culver, and we are SB Nation AM.